All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of the show. It's very special because we have a very talented guest joining us today, Miss Ariane Andrew. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I feel like I always say I'm like always sleepy. I feel like I'm permanently always tired. But you know what? I'm going to sleep when I die. But how are you doing?
Not bad. Well, since you brought up about sleepy, I got to ask you, are you more of a morning person or like an afternoon?
Absolutely not. No. Okay. No, I woke up actually at, set my alarm for 6. I'm supposed to set my alarm tomorrow for 4. I'm really trying to push myself, you know, to a different, push myself and grow and get out of my comfort zone. But I'm definitely a night owl. Mornings are just not my friend. I don't think they'll ever get easier. You know, people are like, oh, if you, you know, keep doing it eventually. No.
I joke that I'm a bit of a grandpa because like I find myself beginning to start to crash around like 8 o'clock, and then I'm always like in bed and then up for the next morning at like 5 in the morning. So
yeah, that's I wake up early because they say like, you know, early bird gets the worm, right? Is that is that the same?
Yeah, that's a
that's, I'm like, wait, is that the right thing? But yeah, I force myself when I have to, but usually like my wake up time is 8. It's not, that's not too bad, but I mean, East Coast, that's 11, so.
Well, I'm sure you're probably at least somewhat accustomed to like the different time changes and having to like, you know, meet deadlines with times because of like your travel throughout the years with your time spent in WWE, because I can only imagine what that schedule could be like.
Woo! And I also was in my 20s, so they definitely say when you get into your 30s, which I embrace it, you know, you really start to feel it. But yeah, I'm like, that schedule was intense. So yeah, I'm used to it, but I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I don't miss that crazy amount of schedule. Like, that's, especially like I said, I'm not a morning person. So the early mornings, it's like, oh, I gotta be to the airport. Oh my gosh.
Well, I'm sure we'll get into more of that, but firstly, from the top here, I got to ask you, because I know there's something very special to you coming up here on October 12th with PTW. Would you care to share with, you know, more details exactly what this will be and what your role in it is? And
the Absolutely. Yeah. So PTW is Pound Town Wrestling. And pretty much how this began is, you know, I feel like people have always been like, I can return to the ring. I definitely feel also when you're working for a bigger corporation, you don't have as much creative control. So this is like my way of still maintaining like my world and like maintaining myself in the world of wrestling, but being able to like run things. I've always been a person, I like to rock to the beat of my own drum. I've been like that since I was a kid. I like doing the things like how I want to do it. And also too, I feel like when it comes to the world of like entertainment, you know, which wrestling, WWE, AEW, that's sports, you know, entertainment, there's like, you know, you're always trying to like, there's this talent that are amazing, but they don't get the opportunity. So this is kind of my way of creating opportunities for people who haven't been seen and haven't been heard, but creating storylines. I think that's so important. That's one of the things that I feel like in the indies lack. You know, you just kind of get random people from all over who are having matches, so people aren't really invested. So this is different. This is, we're doing something for the first time ever, making history, having like a luxury indie event. There's going to be bottle service, there's going to be red carpet, there's going to be a DJ, there's going to be music, there's going to be tables, just kind of like bringing like a nightlife, but with entertainment. And West Hollywood has never had that before. So it's just kind of bringing something new and fresh, and then also creating storylines for people to get invested. So maybe you don't know who this person is, but now you will, because there's a storyline, there's something behind it for you to be like, ooh, give people a reason to care.
Yeah. From the sounds of that, that definitely feels like you're breaking the mold in a sense, because I feel like, and this isn't necessarily true, but I feel like over the past couple of years, the indies have gained somewhat of a stigma of just like people that are high flying in like bingo halls and stuff. But I feel like if you pay closer attention to the indies, like you just said, there's way much to offer, much more to offer. There's so much talent out there. And, you know, we talked about how wrestling is in like a boom right now, but that event that you're organizing, you certainly have the opportunity to bring in eyeballs from all different walks of life, you know, like, and intermingle them.
Absolutely. And also what's different is, you know, everyone's not located in Los Angeles. So we are putting on a pay-per-view event. So even though it's going to be pre-recorded a week after the show, so October 19th, which right now tickets are on sale, an early bird where just like pre-sale tickets are available right now to purchase your ticket beforehand before, you know, because there'll be a little bit more at the door. Will be a little bit more after the fact. But it's also giving people the opportunity to be able to watch this if you can't make it to LA. So I also, I mean, I could be, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't also know, you know, an indie show that's allowed you to kind of go back and watch it on like a high quality level where we have like a whole production team that's putting together kind of like what you would see on, you know, television with commentators and the whole nine. So definitely trying to break the mold and do something new. And yeah, get the eyes on indies because, you know, mainly people focus on the bigger promotions. And I feel like the only way people kind of get that opportunity is by being seen and being heard. And again, like I said, I like to rock to the beat of my own drum, and I'm all about pushing the edge. That's the only way I feel like you can get far in life is by kind of trying to see what works. And this is different, and I'm excited for it.
Was there anything that, you know, sparked this idea or wanted to push you to see what this could turn out to be?
Yeah, so I just deep down inside for me, I am an entertainer. I love writing. I co-wrote my short film that's an award-winning short film called Jaded Pictures. I've always loved the space of entertainment, but I also love, you know, being an athlete. And, you know, again, it's just, I feel like a lot of times when you are in a bigger corporation, you know, until you can really build yourself to a name where, you know, people believe in you or trust you or back you, you don't really get the opportunities. And I just feel like, why not go out there and create something that, you know, I'm not going to say if, when can be just as big as the WWE. Oh, and I don't want to get in trouble now because people are probably going to come for me and be like, girl, sit your ass down. I don't know if I can cuss, but.
Full reign. Go ahead.
But yeah, again, it's just giving opportunities. I get so passionate about wanting to see other people win. And I know how that feels, being an entertainer, being an actress, wanting to get your foot in the door, but people don't want to give you a chance because it's like, well, you don't have the experience or you don't have the name for it. And it's like, that can be so disappointing, especially with social media. You see yourself comparing yourself to other people saying, why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? When 9 times out of 10, it's people are showing you their highlight reel. They're not even showing you the real thing. So it's like, I want to give people this real experience to see like this, you can do this. You have my support and I'm backing you for this. So like, let's make this work. Like, let's be creative. Let's all come together. What character do you want? How do we make this collaborative? Not I'm telling you what to do. It's how do we make this so much fun? Because it's about fun too. Because I feel like when you're just being told what to do, it loses all the essence of the creativity and the journey of starting from here and working yourself up to here.
Mm-hmm. So are you going to be commentating at this event? Or what role are you going to be possibly?
Well, I am the chairswoman of the event, but you know, there's going to be lots of surprises. So all I have to say is, guys, go book your ticket on Eventbrite Thursday night Pound Town. That's all I can say. If I give too much tea, who's going to want to tune in or go buy the ticket? So I don't know. You may see your girl back in the ring. You may not. I don't know. You just have to wait and see.
Well, there you go. There's some breadcrumbs for you all if you want to go check that out. I look forward to it. I can't wait to tune in. But since you just brought up about being an entertainer, I want to kind of talk to you a little bit about your upbringing, because I did my own research on you, obviously, and I saw that back in high school you had both not only experiences, you know, cross country and track, but you also were in your school's drama club as well. So,
ooh, Dink, you did some serious research. I'm
worse
like,
than I had to, you know. I was about that. So you definitely, you know, that kind of makes sense then, like with the sports entertainment then, you know, you were into sports in high school while also doing drama. That's like combining the two in a sense.
Exactly.
So it almost felt like sports entertainment almost in a way was sort of a calling for you. Did you like, what was like your familiarity with wrestling in high school?
To be honest, and that's why I get so much shit and people talk so much shit and like, fuck you and we hate you, girl. It's because I wasn't an avid fan. You know, growing up watching wrestling. My little brother, Kwani, I mean, he would be, I'd be sitting back, chilling, like doing whatever girl things I was doing back when I was younger. And just kind of like chilling while he's like jumping off his bunk. I'd be in his room. He's like jumping off his bunk bed, doing all this stuff. He had like the Stone Cold Steve Austin, like dummy that he's like socking and doing all this stuff. And I was just like, oh my God, like, what are you doing? You know? And I think it was also too, when you do have a sibling, it's kind of like when they are doing something crazy, you are kind of, it's like even more reason to be like, what are you doing? That like brother and sister banter. So yeah, I wasn't like an avid, you know, wrestling fan, but of course, like, you know, I looked at someone like China and those, you know, those type of people back then. I did have little moments, but I wasn't sitting down like watching wrestling every, you know, time it came on. So that's why I do get a lot of, I guess you can say like a lot of hate, but this is the thing. I always say it's, life is a marathon and not a sprint. And I will say, like, as I get chills right now, just thinking about doing the event and stuff, the love that you can create for something. I have so much love and so much passion for the sport. Just to see, it's so interesting because when you see it's something on a TV, it's way different than what goes on behind the scenes. And just the dedication and the resiliency that you see a lot of the talent have, the travel, the passion, it really allowed me to create such a love because it's difficult, you know, hitting the ropes, you know, taking bumps in the ring. That's not easy. The travel, all these things are people, even when they do talk shit, I'm like, get your ass in the ring and you go try it and see how you feel. And I really do believe you have to have a passion for something like that because no one's just going to bruise and put their body through many car accidents just for the sake of doing it. So I really created like this love for wrestling, and especially because the entertainment aspect, the athlete aspect. And then because I used to work with autistic children as a senior behavior therapist when I was getting ready to get my master's before WWE happened, and being able to give back, like, you know, what they do with the Special Olympics and the charities that they're involved in, it's literally like a full circle of everything. And that's what makes, I think, sports entertainment so different than anything out there.
You hit it right on the head. Like, any time that I get like the slightest hint that somebody could be implying that wrestling isn't quote unquote real, I'm like, please indulge. Just go off the ropes one time, you know, let me know.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's entertainment, but what happens out there? It's a physical combative sport. You know what I mean? Like, things go wrong, you know, I mean, in the moment when adrenaline's running, you know, there's things that can happen, you know, unintentionally. Or when, you know, you're taking like a dive from off the top rope, you may just land wrong. Like, it's not, oh, let me go jump on a trampoline.
Right.
Like, let me go jump on my couch. And if I fall, oh, no big deal. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I get defensive now. Because when people say that, it's just like, no, try again. Like, no, you go try it. Then you tell me. I bet you wouldn't last 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you were obviously, you know, geared towards getting into, you know, behavioral therapy. How did that path then shift to professional wrestling? Like, did somebody like your sibling, for instance, or maybe somebody else even sort of like give you the nod of like, you know, you should go and possibly try to get involved with this?
No. So I've always been a hustler. I've always been hustling. I've been hustling since I was 8. That's when I started working. And back then I was taking 19 units. I'm like a determined person, especially when you tell me no, it's going to push me even more. That gives me my drive. Mm-hmm. People told me I wouldn't be able to get 2 degrees in 5 years. Most people would take, they say 4, but really it takes 5. If you know, even doing it full time. So I was at the time getting my degrees in business marketing and psychology, working with autistic children as a senior behavior therapist full time, and then auditioning for acting, modeling, music videos, things like that. And, you know, it was one of those type of things, like everyone in LA is trying to make it. And even though I'm like, I feel I'm going to make my mark in some form or fashion, I still was like, you know what, if I have to do it by a book, I want to do it by a book. Let me continue my education. Because I was also the first person in my family to go to college, which was something major.
Yeah.
I was going to continue, get my master's, and I wanted to open up my own practice with working with autistic children. Just as I've always loved whether it's entertaining or just helping people. And I submitted myself on LA Casting. I had no manager, no anything. And I remember being like my brother doing his stuff like off. And I was like, you know what? This seems like, this seems awesome. Like, it seems like, you know, right up my alley. I love sports, doing cross and cross country and track. The giving back with me already working with autistic children and the things I was doing in my community. And then the entertainment with the acting. I just submitted myself. And from there, long story short, without making this longer, the rest is history.
So it wasn't necessarily, or was it WWE?
It was WWE.
It was WWE. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then that was when Tough Enough then called. So there was sort of like a, because I think Tough Enough at that point was sort of reality based. Then,
yeah.
Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then Tough Enough is where the inception of, you know, your first WWE moments started.
My most amazing moments where people still ask me, what's your favorite match? Melina versus Alicia Fox. Yes, guys. Pull it back up. Where are the memes?
The timing of that's really uncanny, because I think that was either a week or two ago. That was my first time seeing that clip that you're referring to. Like, mm-hmm. It popped up on my feed. And, like, I actually got, like, a little, like, you know, defense. Like, I don't know. It's not even me. Like, but, you know, I put myself, like, in that position, like, in your shoes. And it, like, even bothered me. You know, like, kind of.
Yeah, and I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, guys, it was an accident. Like, I stand by whatever I say, I say. Like, whatever kind of shit people want to give me. People can get mad because I am being honest and candid when I say, like, you know, I wasn't an avid wrestling fan at the time when I was, you know, again, like, getting into it and kind of, you know, figuring things out. That was just something that stood out to me at the time, just because I'm like, you know, at that time, women weren't and even in the entertainment industry, weren't highlighted like that. And to be honest, I'm like, I saw someone who looked like me where I'm like, wow, okay, this is inspiring. You know, I see what she's doing and that can maybe be me one day. Because, I mean, I hate to bring up race and all these type of things, but at the time, that just wasn't the movement, you know, with women and women of color. And there's a time, every place has its time and place. And, you know, at the time that just really wasn't the push. So I was looking at like, wow, those are two women. They're athletic. I mean, I clearly do half of my move set from Melina, you know what I mean? With all my split stuff. So that's kind of like what inspired me for even like my, wrestling moves. And again, over the course of time, was I saying it's the greatest match of all time? No, guys, relax, okay? It was just at the
it's
time.
Your favorite match, right.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference, is like, I don't even think you were necessarily trying to say, like, this is like, you know, what
the
I think.
The best match.
Yeah, like, he asked you a simple question, like, what's your favorite wrestling, right? What's your favorite wrestling match that you've seen? And like you said earlier, like, you know, people go at like their own pace, and that might have been like what stuck out to you the most, you know. And Melina is a great example. I mean, I've interviewed her before. She's like, a lot of women look up to her in that way. So there's no, like, you know, reason to feel kind of condemned about that. Like, I thought that was not even something worth, you know, critiquing you over. But,
you know, I'm just that queen of controversy for some reason. I'm just a person that I feel like people always will take, they will find something even with this and be like, oh my gosh, can you believe she said that? I don't know. I'm just one of those type of people. I guess I really just get under people's skin, and I don't do it intentionally. I'm just being me. Like, I'm just being my authentic self. And what I'm learning, it's not for everybody, but that's okay. And I'm okay with that.
Is that something with you, with other people, that you've noticed sort of only happen like once you got involved with wrestling? Or is this something that has kind of been a thing with you your entire life, where people just kind of feel rubbed wrong from you?
Honestly, I feel like it's in the wrestling world. I feel like, it's just in the wrestling world, because anyone who knows me, or people who meet me, you know, or if they've seen me on TV, they're like, wow, like, you're so cool. You're down to earth. Like, I'm goofy. I do like the most craziest stuff, make the craziest noises, like, where people wouldn't expect that from me in my Like, I'm the person who will go and, like, do twirls and dances and stuff in the gym like no one's watching. Mm-hmm. And again, maybe for some people that can rub people the wrong way, but I look at it more of, like, people wish they could do that. So if anything, it's more of a, I am, like, damn, I wish I had the, what is it? Like, I guess the confidence or in me to just feel free. I mean, think about it. When we're kids, we say things, we do things. And as we get older, we're kind of like put into this box of what we should and shouldn't do. And I feel like no matter what, you're never going to please everybody. And I feel like if you don't stand for something, you stand for nothing. And you rather stand for something and believe truly in who you are than being like, I'm just pretending to try to please people, but I'm not being my authentic self. And again, like, being my authentic self, I think just in the wrestling community really just rub people the wrong way. And I think it all started from Tough Enough. And from there, what I've learned is, respectfully, I love my wrestling fans. They get very stuck in time. And once something is implemented in their mind, it's like, I'm going to be dead. And they're going to be like, oh, you remember when Ariane Cameron said, Lita versus Alicia Fox, how dare her? Like, people are going to still, just like wrestling, when I've stepped away from the ring, it's like, when are you returning? It's always specific. When you're returning to WWE, I'm like, why does that have to be that specific? You know, like, just as I started there doesn't mean that that's where I need to finish, you know? And I'm like, damn, I'm going to be dead. And then you're like, hey, girl, so you're returning to the ring. Like, it's like, wrestling fans just get so stuck in time. And it's like, guys, over time, like, you know, like, you evolve and there's other things that become part of your chapter. You never lose that. Because don't, let me not get it twisted. Wrestling is what made me. Like, without wrestling, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Not saying I wouldn't have gotten and done other stuff, but I give, you know, WWE all the roses in the world and the fans the roses, because without those, like, we wouldn't be doing this right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know if it's because social media, but haven't you noticed that, like, fans could see or watch something back from 2011 and then, like, tweet at you or message you as if it happened, like,
yesterday.
5 minutes ago? Yeah.
Again, yeah, people, I mean, I think it's just in the day and age, even more so, it's becoming even bigger outside of wrestling. It's like now cancel culture, everyone's canceled. You can't say,
yeah.
You really just have to say nothing. You just have to be neutral, which sucks, because it's like we've gotten to this point in the world where no one can say anything, because we live in a very sensitive world, you know?
Yeah.
You literally have to just be like, I plead the fifth. That's it.
Yeah. So would you say that you took maybe bits and pieces of maybe the styles of Melina and Alicia Fox to try to, like, put your own spin on it when developing your character, or were there other inspirations for you?
I would say there was a little bit. I've always loved doing the splits, so I definitely, you know, that's what inspired me. But I also, like, again, I always just kind of wanted to, I've always been, like, the person who wants to walk to the beat of their own drum and kind of be original. So it was just more of me being like, how can I be creative? How can I make things different? That was still in my wheelhouse, especially given that, like, I only had 3 months of training before I was called up on the main roster. So there was only so much I can get out of my, like, of my creativity without being like, I'm going to look like an absolute fool and I don't want to hurt myself, because, you know, I only had 3 months of training. So I would say it was a little bit of Melina. And just, I guess, just watching just various different people, you know, like, I've always loved The Rock and, like, his charisma and how he entertains. Like, watching people like that, like a Randy Orton, when they walk out, how they embrace that entrance. It's like, that's your time to really, like, soak things in. And because I feel like I've always been more of an entertainer than a technical wrestler, you have to focus on what you're the best at, you know, what I would shine in, and that's being a character. So for me, it was like watching people, you know, who really knew how to, like, soak up the crowd and really just kind of capitalize on that.
Yeah, that's the psychology, and that's, like, a really big talking point. Anytime I have a guest on that has been in the wrestling world, I always like to highlight the psychology, because that's something that a casual fan or somebody in the casual audience might not pick up on immediately, because when you think of professional wrestling, you just immediately think, like, oh, you know, it's just people, like, hitting into each other and then somebody wins. But psychology is, like, I'd even argue possibly the biggest part of professional wrestling, because, you know, it's the audience, the entertainment. You have to draw the fans in and make them feel like they're a part of it. And I've always noticed with you, like, your facial expressions and your body language always felt like so, like, crisp to a T, like you had it down pat. Like, did you
I appreciate that.
I mean, listen, I'm not just blowing smoke. I watch my fair share of Cameron matches over the years. Can you attribute that to maybe your time spent with, like, maybe even drawing it back to drama club in high school? Like, could you attribute any of that to the psychology?
You know, it wasn't until kind of like after, when my time was coming to an end in 2016, when I started taking classes, because at the time that's when I went back down to NXT and gave up my spot on the main roster to be a force to reckon with. I was tired of being like, the girl's tired of being in catering, eating snackies, okay? Like, I want to be some, like, and I knew I had the capabilities to be that badass bitch in the ring. It's just, I didn't have the training to do so. I mean, would have given me the training that I needed, and with the mic skills, would have been dominating. But, you know, neither here nor there. I feel like taking classes definitely helped, even though it came towards the end. But yeah, going back to like drama class, because when you are taking class, you're having to draw from something real in order for the acting to feel authentic. It has to come from a real place, even if it's a place that's dark. I mean, my coach used to say, we literally bleed for a living, because when you're tapping to something emotional, and they usually say comedy comes from drama, you know, taking such a dark moment, a place and a time, putting yourself in the surrounding, like, okay, what I was here, what emotion, but making it a positive emotion, because even being a heel, even though for me, that was to me how the best of what I feel like I love being a heel. Because then plus I feel like it's easier for people to hate you than to love you, but you still have to tap into something, and you have to have all, she would say, the positive adjectives of, even though people may hate you and you feel like this character is a terrible person, you have to be convinced on why I'm good and why it's justified of being this terrible character or tapping into this bad girl, bad guy persona. So yeah, I would definitely say taking classes, because it's still entertainment. I even say with like business marketing, when people are like, what does that have to do with business marketing psychology? What does that have to do with acting? Well, I'm like, all of these type of things. I'm like, well, with business marketing and with psychology, you have to get inside the minds of your consumer. You have to know what it is that they want. What problem are you solving? And so for me, it's like the problem I'm solving when I'm walking out there is really to get under people's skin and for them to feel like I really do hate you, which people really would be like, I hate you. I'm like, guys, relax, this character. But I'm like, clearly I'm doing a good job because you really do not like me.
Mm. I feel like it's some different type of way of looking at it. It's almost more relatable for an audience member to relate to a heel, because like every day in their normal life, nobody's going to be like super jolly about everything going on in their life. Like somebody's, you know, arguing with like a friend, somebody's hates their boss. Like
that's so true.
Yeah,
that's true. But I guess also too, the why people love a good baby face, because usually a good baby face is the underdog, and you know, everyone wants to see an underdog win until they become up here. And then they're like, oh, okay, now you're not relatable because now you're too, you know, it's such an interesting like dynamic of how we think and the way our minds work and the psychology of our brains as humans of like, it's so backwards. It's like you're rooting for the person who's an underdog until they become, they prevail. And people are like, okay, that's not really as exciting. Plus, I guess with anything in life, it's the journey. Like people say, even when you get to the top, you're like, what's next? Everything I think in life kind of comes down to the process. People enjoy the process. That's really what is the excitement. Even if it's you're the heel or you're the baby face, it's the process.
I feel like most baby faces, and not in all cases, but ultimately it comes and boils down to living long enough to see yourself become a villain. Because like once you reach that top, then everybody's like, all right, well, we've seen them go through the trials now, you know.
So it's interesting how we as humans operate.
Yeah. What did those conversations look like upon your exit from Tough Enough? Because for those that, you know, tuned into the show, they'll know that you were out rather quickly, but then, you know, you obviously made your way to the main roster not too long after that. The process was rather quick. So what did, like, those conversations look like, possibly? And do you know what maybe caught their eye?
Well, that's some tea I'm not going to spill. But I'm just kidding. You know, I just kind of, like I said, I'm a determined person. So when someone tells me no, it's like I'm going to figure out how to make it a yes. And I think a lot of it had to do with just the amount of controversy I caused in one episode. I literally was eliminated first. Respectfully, and I mean this in the most respectful way ever, like, I was the only person from that season to actually go off and be, you know, on the main roster. And, I mean, I didn't achieve, like, this most grandeur successful career. I was only there for a sneeze, but, you know, I still had some really amazing, dope moments. Got to perform at WrestleMania. Obviously, more things that I would have loved to do, absolutely, but very grateful for the things that I did get to achieve. So, you know, even afterwards, when Stone Cold, and I love Steve so much, you know, he was like kind of the first person who started my journey with me in wrestling. I remember reaching out to him, letting him know I got released. And I was like, you know, I would love, because I started my journey with you, I would love to come talk about everything from then and now, and kind of not in my journey, but at the time, kind of like start and end with what was going on with WWE. And he told me, he's like, you know, kid, I always saw something in you. He's like, yeah, you know, what happened? He's like, but I saw your edge. I saw your passion. I saw what you were capable. And that felt really good, just to know that, like, he was always in my corner, even after what happened on Tough Enough. So yeah, everyone saw on TV was, like, you know, Steve being Steve, but, you know, behind the scenes, he was always kind of giving me my flowers. Like, even when he would be visiting and I was backstage. So that was, like, you know, he clearly saw I had something to make it as far as I did. Not far as I would have liked, but as far as I did.
Right. Fans aren't seeing, like, the nuts and bolts behind the scenes. They're only seeing, like, the 10 seconds of the finished product.
But that's just like anything in life. Everyone, you know, people are so quick to believe whatever they see on news and media. Half the time, everything's cut and pasted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, or people choose to hear what they want to hear. And that's also too, it's like, guys, don't always believe and hear everything you see, because you don't know everything. You don't know the 10 hours for a show that airs for 30 minutes. That's 2 days of filming. You know, like, it's not, oh, we filmed for 30 minutes and what you see is what you get. That's bits and pieces put together.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'd be a perfect segue into this next topic. Then I got to ask you, since Total Divas was definitely, you know, something that you were very prevalently a part of, how much of that was legit?
We're trying to get the tea. You know, honestly, there's certain things of certain storylines, you know, that, or I don't want to say storylines, but certain segments of things that, you know, beats and stuff you have to get. Everyone knows that. But what I will say, a lot of the stuff on there is like kind of what you saw is what you got. I mean, I think that was like the beauty of Total Divas, even though we got so much shit initially, like Total Divas. But I do feel like that was a start of what helped put the women on the map, along with many other things, like, you know, the women's evolution and just the things that the women have done since then. But yeah, I mean, you got to think about it. We were traveling 24/7, getting right off a plane, having to film. So a lot of these moments, it's like you're capturing the real deal. Also, too, there's like the controversy, you know, of producers like, oh, this person said something, you know, or whatever, kind of stirring the pot. And it's like, okay, maybe it wasn't quite said like that. Or when it's like telephone, by the time it gets back, it's like, that's not what was said. But at that point, cameras are on you. And so people are seeing, like, damn, like a moment, a real moment. That maybe wouldn't have been a real moment if this, you know, pot wasn't being stirred. But yeah, there was definitely some moments there where it was just like, yeah, shit, people are really seeing our lives. Our whole lives are out there.
What's the contrast for you? Because I know, like, when mixing quote unquote acting and reality TV, those are kind of like, you know, oil and water type of things. Like, they're vastly different. One thing's, you know, obviously scripted, you're rehearsing lines, and then the other is obviously you're yourself. Like, what, where's the contrast for you in terms of, like, was that a culture shock for you, reality television?
Because I've always just been extra, like guacamole. I'm always a little extra. I definitely was just be like, I was already extra. And I feel like for just because for TV, I was just even more extra. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like, and I was younger then too. I definitely feel like people, let's put it this way. I really don't feel like people got to see the real Ariane. There's like bits and pieces, but I do feel like I gave a lot of Cameron. So.
Like your WWE persona?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that that was a little bit hard to separate, because initially when I got put on, it was Ariane, then it was like slash Cameron. And I guess it was just like kind of the confusion of like, how do you, I don't want to say how do you separate the two, but it's almost like when they say like it's method acting, you know, where you in you invest so much into a character. I forget the actor's name who got like sick because he was like wearing like the homeless, like he was so invested. And there's a lot of A-list actors who have done the method acting where you invest in that character so much that you become that person because you're so dedicated. Like, you're wearing the clothes, and if this person doesn't shower, they're not showering for 5 days, to really tap into that character. So I do feel like there was a lot of method acting. So just, I mean, I know I'm using a lot of like acting terms and stuff like that, but yeah, just pretty much kind of what we all do in real life. We pretend to be someone that we're not. Like, when you go on a date, right? You're not going to go on your first date and be like farting and belching and stuff, like, you know, on the first date. That's something that, you know, eventually maybe, I mean, maybe that's a little bit aggressive, but that's just me. Extra like guacamole, that comes down the line. But usually people are become like, they're putting on their best self. You know, they're bringing their representative, a person of them being a method actor or actress. We're all kind of like that. Even you go to a job interview, you're like, hi, my name is this. You know what I mean? Instead of, you're not like, hey, so what's going on? You know, you're not doing that. So I think everyone has a bit of method actor and actress in them, even if they don't realize it.
I could imagine trying to blur the lines between like Ariane and then Cameron, because you're trying to give like reality, like who you are, but because you've become so accustomed to showing the audience who Cameron is, you're almost like not sure which individual you're supposed to show. And since you know, you just brought up about certain things that maybe fans didn't get to see about Ariane that they were seeing as opposed to with Cameron, what's like a difference, or what's something about Ariane that fans didn't get to see in Cameron that you would have liked?
I am crazy. Yes. Honestly, crazy. I'm eclectic. I'm super eclectic. Like I said, I'm the person, I'm like the friend who's like burping and stuff, like doing the stuff that like people wouldn't, people who either have saw me on TV, then met me, they're like, oh my God, like you're, it's almost like they're like, it's a night and day person. Like, they're like, you're like, they're such a diva. We're here. You're just like very chill. You're kind of like, whatever, you know, kick back. I'm still very feisty. There's still like that sass. I don't do really well with people telling me no. That's, like I said, a way for me to be like, oh, you told me no? Cool. Okay, I'm going to show you. I'll show you better than I can tell you. So that's very similar, but I think it's more of like my personality. Like, I'm a very extra introverted person. My life, even right now, consists of doing work, going to Trader Joe's, Walmart, and the gym. Like, where most people think like I'm out like living my life at a party, doing all this stuff. I'm not really, I don't like shopping. That's not my thing. I'm very like low maintenance when it comes to clothing. Things that I think people would think, you know, who Cameron, this sassy like diva. I'm like the opposite. It was my friend's event this weekend, but also my sister's birthday. I struggled for like an hour trying to figure out what to wear, because all I'm in usually is like workout clothes. Like, even right now I'm doing this interview and I'm like in workout clothes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's just me. You know what I mean? Like, it's very true. Like, I put on makeup and stuff just for this. I usually am not in makeup or any of that. I'm just like chilling. So I think that that's some things that people didn't get to see, and that I'm a really caring person, and that, like, yeah, I do like a lot for my community. I do a lot of like giving back. Again, like most people, unless you're doing research, don't know I have degrees. I still keep in touch with like some of the kids I used to work with who have autism. And even like right now with the event that I didn't even get a chance to mention, which is major, it's tied into charity. So yeah, that's kind of things I feel like people never really got a chance to really see that the real me, which is, again, very eclectic, very extra, very chill.
Did it ever affect you mentally, feeling like you had to almost in a way uphold like the image of the character that you played on television?
Initially, yeah, because when, you know, tells my age, but it's okay. I represent it, 35 years young. When we first started, Instagram was new, you know? So you have everyone coming on there, especially when Total Divas is happening, and people have so much to say. And, you know, everyone's human. Of course, that stuff kind of stuff gets you because it's like, dang, these people are just seeing like a personality of me. Like just like when they say like Beyonce, Sasha Fierce is like her character when she goes into that mode. It's like, that is a part of me, but I'm putting on a show. Like, it definitely was hard to interchange the two, but looking back at it, I never have any regrets, because I'm like, now people get to see the real me. Like, if you follow me closely, or the people who I truly care about, and I feel like as long as they know the person who I am, like, again, I'm not going to please everybody, so right. It is what it is.
What was your whole stance on like the terminology diva? Because I know like a lot of, you know, women were very happy to see that they ultimately ended up both changing the diva's title into the women's title, and then just referring to the division as a whole as, you know, women again. Like, were you somebody that didn't mind it, or were you somebody that, you know, was kind of on board with wanting it to be women?
See, for me, I feel like there was something so special about the Divas era. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. Like, what the women have done and what they have and the marks they have made to say, listen here, like, we can do just as much as the men. We are just as capable, just as athletic, just as great on the mic, just as entertaining. Like, we can hold our own. We can main event. But I think that there is something special about the Divas era, because I do feel at some point what did happen is that when you think of a woman, I think a woman can still be sexy and dominant and still fierce and badass in the ring. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's at one point, the women were like, you know, it's like you're having a match where women are bleeding and stuff. And it's kind of like, well, that's what made us different from being in the MMA. Like, if you want to go watch like blood and like women really go at it and have like bruises and stuff on their face, you're going to watch MMA, because that's a different caliber and a different sport. The difference, I feel like you could have the best of both worlds. And I feel like at one point that was missing, where it was like, okay, it was like too far to the left and too far to the right, where they could have been in the middle. Like, I'm still a badass, but I'm still a woman, and that's what makes a woman, is like the feminine. But like, I can look like this, but go kick some ass right now. So I definitely feel like there needs to be like a mixture of both. So I do feel like there's parts of me that do miss like the Divas era of having that feminine. But I love where we have gone, and I wish it would be a little bit more of the combined together.
Right, like combining both. There's almost like the feminine side with like, you know, the level of competition that we're seeing now with some of the, you know, in-ring stuff that they're doing. But I think too, like the Total Divas era definitely helped with visibility too, because I know like a lot of women that are just broke into the industry now, like often refer back to their first images of seeing what women's wrestling was and attributing that to Total Divas. So there was certainly like, you know, a lot of that.
I don't mean to cut you off, but one thing I was going to say, like, perfect example, like Tiffany right now, like she has that Barbie doll.
That's exactly who I was referring to. She said Total Divas was, you know, what got her into wrestling.
Yeah, and I mean, she has, like, you know, the image of, like, and that's her whole, you know, that's her thing, but, like, you see what she can do in the ring, and she's kicking ass, you know what I mean? I feel like that's combining the best of both worlds, and I'm not even saying that it has to be like, okay, you need to wear pink or, you know, do that. But I feel like that is a good example of setting the tone of being like, respectfully, I'm a badass bitch.
Yeah.
You know, like, look at me, look at how great I look, but also I can go in there and handle business. And I think that's dope.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd be remiss to not ask, because there was another reality TV show that you took part in, and that was actually MTV's The Challenge. Oh. what was your experience on that like?
Oh, sweet baby Jesus. I went in there thinking like it was going to be easy. That shit was hard. Like, I think until people can actually go experience something, I feel like, don't ever talk shit until you do it. Not that I ever had talked shit about, but I'm just saying, like, in any show, because that really tested me in ways. I'm like, that really tested me, like, oh, I really don't know how to swim. Gosh, I'm almost gonna drown myself. Just like certain things that really put me to the test. And it's like, we were waking up hella early. It reminded me kind of like being in WWE, like it's like the days are grueling, and you're waking up hella early. You got to do a travel day, and then you're doing some. It's not go redo. Just like in dress, it's not like okay, let's go redo that. It's like no, you're in it, and whatever's happening is happening. But it was fun though, because I'm still a competitive person, and even though your girl was struggling, it's like I. What I had learned is playing the game and creating your alliances. That's what kept me alive, is, and maybe that's why I can thank my psychology degree, because it's like, you know, playing the game to stay afloat, even though I was like, damn, bro, you really should have been eliminated, but I'm still here.
Yeah, and you had one of the standout moments from that season when you checked Johnny for kind of, like,
coming at the women with about wrestling. I was like, listen, I think I even said bitch. Like,
yeah, you did.
I was not playing with that. Like, that's why I say it's so funny, because I'm like, if people actually watch certain things, you would see the difference of like where I started and like the love and the passion that I like. It's like, no, wait, shut the fuck up, respectfully, because I love me some Johnny Bananas. You know, I respect the years that he's, you know. Clearly, he's the OG, and he's one of the people who have made the challenge, you know. But at the time, I was like, I don't care who you are. Like, don't until you do it. Just like I'm stepping into your territory, not talking shit and about what you do, until you come and step over here and, you know, close your mouth respectfully.
Could you ever see yourself potentially returning if, you know, the opportunity were to arise?
To the challenge?
Yeah, for another season.
Absolutely, because, you know, again, it's not just about the sport, it's the drama. I mean, people, that's why people love reality TV. It's, and I bring that sass. Like, that's the one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to make people, like, be like, God damn it. Like, I know how to get under people's skin. And it's not that I'm doing it on purpose. It's just, it's my personality. You know what I mean? It's just, like, I'll say this again. I'm like guacamole. It's always a little extra. Like, can I get the guac? I'm like, yeah, that'll be $2.99 extra.
Yeah, you seem like someone that, like, the transition from onto the challenge, it's sort of like seamless, because you kind of check off sort of both boxes. Like, you know, you have the athletic background, and then like you said, the sass fit right in. So
yeah, and then plus two, I feel like I've been, not at this past week, because it's been a little bit of stress with some personal things that have happened. So I fell off my gym workouts, but I even still do feel like, even right now, I'm in the best shape that I've ever been in my life at 35 years young. I work out way more intensely than I did when I was in WWE. Like, for me, sleep was more important. I was like, gym or sleep, I'm going to get sleep. So just even seeing where my mindset is from then to now, it's like, I look at myself and I'm like, damn, I feel like I'm killing it, like, mentally, emotionally, and physically more now than how I looked back then. Like, I look at myself like, damn, girl, you should have been looking like this back then in your 20s. But I'm like, it's okay. I'm like, why? I'm getting better with time.
Yeah, you get wiser with age, too. So there you go.
Exactly.
I got a last point to ask you about, though, because upon doing my research, I saw that mental health is a really big part and a component of your life. Is there anything in your life that maybe prompted you to want to be such an advocate for that?
Yeah, in 2018, which, if I backtrack, I always knew there was something a little bit, like, I was different, but just my attention span to things, how I would never really pay attention in school, in class, they would always be like, she talks too much. Like, all these little things that kind of would say, like, it should have been kind of, like, looked into a little bit more. But, you know, back in the day, too, like, mental health with parents and in the Black community, it's like, we don't hear. We're not listening to that. You're fine. Respectfully shut the hell up, and you're good. And 2018, when, I don't know, just things are just not right. And this is when mental health really still wasn't talked about. So even kind of talking about it was like, ooh, kind of have to keep quiet. But it's like, I still would talk about it because I'm like, damn, if no one talks about it, like, is everyone just supposed to, like, hide in a box and just go through stuff by themselves? I got diagnosed with ADHD, depression, anxiety. And it also, when I had a panic attack, and I thought I was having a heart attack. And that's when I found out, because I filled out this questionnaire, and then that's kind of how things transpired. Yeah, and just embracing that. Like, I'm not a big medication person. Like, I feel like if you need it, do what you have to do. For me, I try to find other ways, like journaling, meditating, and stuff like that. I see a therapist every week. Been doing that since 2018 religiously. And yeah, I just kind of wanted to bring it to the forefront because I feel like, again, people look at, like, social media and look at certain things and, like, this person has it all, or they don't go through struggles. And I'm like, you know, I've been, more open, and I'm pretty open. Like, where there's, when I'm going through a depressive episode, that means three days in, like, the bed. That means sometimes not showering. That means ordering food and literally being like, I need to ask the person to bring the food in my house because I'm not capable of even having the energy to walk to the door. So it can get that deep. And I just felt like being able to share something like that, because again, when you're on the forefront, when you have a platform, when you've been on TV, I think people just think like life is easy. But also, like, too, if people knew my life story, like, everything, like I said, I'm the first person in my family to go to college. I had a very rough, upbringing and stuff like that. And people would never know that because it's like what they've seen. And I feel like, I'm not saying like, oh, let me talk about it because I want you to cry me a river, because I'm like, everyone has a fucking tough life, no matter if you struggle with mental health. And for some people it is on an extreme basis. It's more so to bring awareness that it's like, it's okay to talk about these things. Now I do think in our world, people take it as like, a bad day is depression. And that's like, that's not really kind of how it works. It's like where you really, it's where it is a struggle. Like, you cannot get out of your bed and stuff like that. But yeah, just bringing awareness in a way where it's not overdoing it, but in a way where it's like, I'm talking about it. And just know if you are struggling, you know, you're not alone. Because they do say usually the people who are the most smiley, the most people who, those are people you got to check on. It's not the people who are saying, cry me a river. It's usually the strong friends and the people who are smiling who are, they're struggling in silence.
Yeah, I mean, because usually the people that aren't, all smiley are kind of more in tune with, their emotions and, like, have more of an understanding about their foundation and stuff. Did you, because you said this was in 2018, correct? Mm-hmm. Is when. Did you notice at all, like, because obviously finding out after the fact, are you able to refer back to certain moments potentially during your run with WWE even and being like, oh, like, I was going through this at this particular time, but I wasn't able to, like, compartmentalize that?
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many moments I look back and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Especially, I had at one point asked my psychiatrist, like, maybe do I have bipolar disorder, for the simple fact, like, my highs are really high, my lows are very low. And because of how extreme and impulsive my personality is, because I am very, like, just kind of, it's almost like I was watching a meme, just like how right now I'm totally, like, off subject. Watching a meme and, like, how someone who suffers with autism, because there's, like, a kind of a little bit of a link to autism and ADHD, how he's giving his, mom or someone a cookie, and he's like, here you go, you fast bitch. Like, it just kind of like, both, and it's like, because it's like those impulsive moments where there are certain things I literally have looked back and like, I couldn't stop myself from saying it, you know, or things I shouldn't be saying because I'm like, to the normal person, like, did she really just say that? Like, that's not, like, it's not in a fitting for like a normal setting and are appropriate to say. So there's a lot of things that I look back and I was like, ooh, wow, that makes sense. Like the impulse, just kind of being like with emotions, even back then, like certain things, just being able to look back and like, wow, that makes a lot of sense.
Wow. Yeah. Those are like, crystallizing, I call them crystallizing experiences. Because those are also some things, like even me too, like I'll refer back to something. Something will happen, like, say, like, tomorrow, right? Something will happen. Mm-hmm. And then, like, my mind immediately, like, rewinds me back to a time in which something similar, like, even just a thought, something as simple as a thought. And I'm like, oh, like, but because, like, I'm older now, I'm able to, like, compartmentalize that.
Yeah.
It's, like, kind of crazy how, like, the mind works.
Which, like, kind of makes all the sense too in the world, like why I decided to work with autistic children. And it, like, when I kind of really take things back, you know, studying psychology, when understanding what the brain works, also a lot with my family dynamics, it, like, when I really sit back, I'm like, all this stuff makes sense. Because at the time, it's like we there's always the why of why we do things, and then looking back, I'm like, wow, that makes a lot of sense of why I was going in that direction. And why, like, too, entertainment's like an outlet for me because I can be different characters.
Mm-hmm. Would you recommend therapy to anybody that's possible?
Absolutely. I think a lot of times when you say therapist, people are like, you're crazy. But I'm like, there's nothing wrong with going to talk to someone who is non-biased. That, because, you know, you can talk to a friend, you can talk to family, you can talk to a partner, whoever. But there's a little bit of an emotional attachment, no matter how much you try to detach yourself. And like I said, I see a therapist, and I've been religiously since 2018, since my diagnosis. And I have to see a psychiatrist too. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with talking your problems out, and getting that stuff out. Because I feel like a lot of times, like, even if you don't struggle with mental health, just getting the normal day-to-day life, being an adult is fucking hard, you know, already. And then you add mental health, and you add, like, even the world we're living in, inflation's high, the world's crazy, cancel, like, everything, everyone's on edge. So it's like, why not talk to someone just to get things out, that where someone's not biased. This person doesn't have judgment. They can, and if you have to be open and receptive, because you also have to be willing for someone to tell you things that should be done differently, you know? So it's about timing, but I definitely do recommend therapy. I recommend exercise. Like, exercise is my saving grace. I think that's too why I got really into fitness. That's why I created my fitness app, AA Academy. And it focuses not only on physical health, but mental health as well. That was part of it, incorporating mental health exercises like gratitude and like my journal, which I haven't done in like 2 months. But like these type of things, because it puts things into perspective. Like, when you can there's no way you can have gratitude and be angry. There's no way you can have gratitude and be like depressed. It's like, you know, you're brushing your teeth, like, I'm so happy that I woke up today. You know what I mean? It's like, no, they just don't coincide together. So I think doing things like meditation, journaling, surrounding yourself around people who are positive, seeking therapy, doing things that move your body, going for a walk, like things that, I mean, walks are great. It helps you, like, something about connecting with, like, when I don't get enough sun or if I don't get a chance to go hike, I can just tell my mood shifts. And I'm learning the things that I need in order to keep me somewhat sane. Usually I'm pulling my hair out, but, you know.
It's never a bad thing.
I was even stressed out today. I was like, gosh, I'm like, what? Life's so goddamn complicated. But then I remind myself again, like a gratitude moment. Like, these are first world problems. There's people out there who are suffering. I'm not saying that it downgrades the problems that anyone's going through, because everyone's feelings are valid. You can never tell someone how to feel, ever. Because that person, you're not in that person's head and in their body. But when you start to look at the bigger picture of things and find gratitude in like the little things in life, it's crazy how it shifts your focus. Like I'm gonna actually say this. I literally challenge everyone who's watching this day, and I challenge you as well. Like, next time we go to like a coffee shop or somewhere, like pay it forward, pay for someone's food or something behind you. And it's like the domino effect. Like just you doing that, like, so first off, someone's not going to expect that because most people are like in their own world angry. So just that little gesture, I'm sure you'll see somebody smile. And then it's like, you can't change the world, but you can change what you do with yourself. And just that little moment is going to make you feel great. And I'm pretty sure that person's going to be like, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing. And that's kind of like the domino effect stuff. Like, again, you can't change the world, but you can change yourself. And those little things help with mental and, you know, well-being.
Just passing it forward.
Exactly. And that's just one of many.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to thank you again for hopping on here. This was a ton of fun. You're so authentic and outward and open about everything. So I thank you for being so honest and generous with your time today. And I wish you the best of luck. I can't wait to tune in with the PTW show coming up on October 12th. For those interested, please go and check that out as well and show them some love. And Ariane, thank you again. And I wish you the best of luck with it.
Thank you. And guys, don't forget to follow me across the board at Ariane Andrew. And yes, get your tickets for October 12th for a PTW Pound Town Wrestling for Thursday night, Pound Town.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.